Hello, beloveds. Welcome back. We are Cis Society, a global community that fearlessly explores taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. And this is Taboo Talks, a weekly conversation where we dive in with leading minds into these taboo topics in order to bring shadow to light. And this month's topic has been about orgasms, and it's been so juicy so far. And today we're joined by the very beautiful and powerful Abby Rose, aka Honey Drip. She is a birth keeper, a traditional midwife, and an activist who studied orgasmic birth techniques directly under Elizabeth Davis, who is a renowned author in her field and creatrix of the National Midwifery Institute. And if conversations like this excite you, please follow us here at cissociety.world, or you can also listen to us via Spotify podcasts and catch the replays on YouTube under our bio links as well, as we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth.
Woo! Yeah, liberating truth. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We're doing
it. Yeah, so we're welcome, Heather. We're going to be joined by Abby in just a moment. And yeah, this month's topic has been all around orgasms. And so today we have a really interesting guest, like an interesting take on that topic. So we've been talking a lot about orgasms just for pleasure, but what about orgasms for practicality? Like when you have to give birth and it could be potentially one of the most, painful things of your life, how to bring pleasure into that. That's true alchemy.
Yeah, definitely. I was sharing when I posted the marketing for Instagram that growing up, like for me, my mother consistently talked about how painful birth was, how like I nearly killed her, how like it was like, you know, the most intense, like excruciating experience of her life. So I grew up with those narratives circulating in my field. And so, yeah, today I'm particularly excited to remember and witness and uncover a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she's joining us now. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, for those of you watching, I just invite you in this moment to think back to what the stories were around birthing and bringing a child into the world growing up as we enter into this conversation. Really allowing those pieces of ourselves to come alive and begin to question them.
Welcome, Abby. Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Hi. Aloha.
Wow. Are you in the jungle? Are you like underneath a waterfall right now?
House. Yeah. Super grateful to be here with you ladies.
We're so grateful to have you. Yeah, and I introduced you already, but maybe you can just share like a short introduction to who you are as well and what brought you to being a natural midwife and yeah, just your journey on this so far.
Yeah, well, I'm Abby Rose. It's good to meet all of you. And yeah, I'm grateful to be here. It was kind of a last minute invitation, and I'm grateful that it worked out that we can all make a little time to talk about orgasmic birth and just natural birthing and women empowerment. I was born at home to a home birth midwife. My mom has been practicing home birth midwifery since the 70s. And, it's really a wonderful topic for us to explore into all the different possibilities of creating these wonderful, pleasurable birth experiences at home and even in in hospitals, I've actually been to some really profoundly beautiful hospital births that were, you know, just as like wonderful of an outcome as some of these incredible home birth experiences. So I really think that experience can be created and explored in so many different environments. And, you know, it's really about what the mom needs in order to have a pleasurable experience wherever she is. And I think that that's different for every woman. And so as a doula or a birth keeper or facilitator, you know, we like to, you know, explore all of these different things with our clients and finding out, you know, what makes them feel relaxed, what makes them feel, you know, joy and at peace. Because, you know, when you're birthing babies, you go through so many different feelings and emotions. And, you know, having an orgasmic birth experience doesn't necessarily just mean you're orgasming the whole labor or you're orgasming when your baby comes out. But it's really like a holistic approach to birth, just like you would with nutrition or health. You know, what do you need to have the whole experience from beginning to end postpartum care be pleasurable and memorable as like this wonderful healing rite of passage experience, instead of, you know, kind of what oftentimes can just be exploited with like, you know, TV and movies and things where like the birth is just this crazy traumatic like medical experience, you know, when in reality, like, tribal birth, like I consider myself a traditional midwife, which means I'm not a licensed midwife in any state. I did go to midwifery school with Elizabeth Davis, who wrote Orgasmic Birth, the very first orgasmic birth book, and we'll put the link down below for you guys. I actually lent my copy out, so I don't have it, but she also wrote Heart and Hands Midwifery, a guide to midwifery and birth, and a lot of midwives have this book, and we can put the links to these books down below too, and the Woman's Wheel of Life. But you know, she really changed my life because she just had such a different approach to labor and delivery and pregnancy care and postpartum care, so that women could have this pleasurable experience. And you know, I love talking about the subject because I feel like, you know, so many women are scared to have their babies. And that is a very natural thing to feel and experience. And it's all part of it. But it's also like so exciting to be like, wow, how can we actually make an impact on the next generations going forward, the new earth, like birthing experience, because we're bringing all these incredible light beings onto the planet right now, and their experience is going to be so different than ours or the generations that have come before us, our ancestors. But hundreds of years ago, and even thousands of years ago, they were doing traditional midwifery, tribal midwifery and birth, which is where certain people feel more called to wanting to be a part of that experience and supporting women or their sisters through that experience. And when you're living in a tribe, which, you know, right now we're in this more like divided and conquered type of environment a lot of times, where people are so separated that we don't have as much tribal support, where you're just, you know, you have your aunties and uncles and cousins and people to help raise children and support women. But oftentimes, even now, you do have your auntie or your cousin or a best friend or somebody that you really feel connected with that you want to have be at your birth. And there's a lot of ways that they can help, and you can help yourself create these beautiful experiences where, you know, if it's different for everyone, but like, you know, what is the music that you have picked out for your birth? And can you plan that ahead of time so that you can create this vibe that really caters to what you feel is going to be like pleasurable for you? You know, having fresh sheets, candles, flowers, like beautiful flower bouquets. I mean, look how much energy people put into like their kids' birthday parties, you know, and creating these like themes or vibes. And it's like, this is like one of the most important birthday parties ever, you know, really. For yourself, for your baby. It's such a special day. So just putting a little bit more effort and energy and planning into like creating that environment can really help women have a more pleasurable experience. You know, it just feels clean. I'm really into encouraging my clients and people to, you know, clean and rearrange and just create that sacred temple space, especially if you're choosing to do a home birth. Of course, that kind of already happens naturally. Like you get that nesty energy where moms are, you know, just kind of creating that sacred space for themselves and for the baby. But this sacred space can also be created in a hospital. I'm telling you, like we've brought in, you know, like rose quartz lamps and, you know, natural eco cleaning supplies. So we go into the hospital room, we clean everything first, you know, with some nice like lavender or whatever, you know, maybe scents that the mom likes. Just make it feel fresh, make it feel good, bring that rose water. And, you know, the same type of, sensations that you go through having sexual intercourse are the same type of feelings and sensations you go through with labor. And it's like, you know, oftentimes orgasms are what brought that, created that baby and brought it into existence. And so there's no reason why you can't recreate that when the baby's coming out as well, you know? And as long as the water hasn't been broke, I mean, you can have as much sexual intercourse as you want with your partner. And that in itself is orgasmic birth. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be having an orgasm when your baby comes out to have an orgasmic birth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, spiraling and also water birth, I mean, women are having orgasms when they're birthing their babies out. So this is absolutely possible. And just, you know, the Hawaiian uncle that actually lives in the eco village on my land with us, his wife is the midwife that my mom had when she was pregnant with me. She was my midwife and they live with us, but he told me that his mother had no pain when he was born, and he's actually 80 this year, but he believes that he's part of like the new earth, like birthing, like enlightened beings that are coming in where like the mothers felt no pain, you know? And I think that we're gonna see a lot more of this coming into the planet right now. And for all women, like we've endured so much. And you know, we're all so strong and powerful, and not that you're not gonna feel pain in birth. And I think that's part of it. And maybe we don't even have to call it pain, and maybe we do, but it's just the whole idea that birth can be so much more of a beautiful rite of passage than a traumatic, you know, medical procedure, you know? So I think that, yeah, I mean, there's exponential potential, you know, for all of us. And even as women, I wish that maybe like more of us were just getting into birth and doula work, or even, you know, if it was a part of like every woman, you know, gets to be a part of that at least once or twice in their life. Because I think traditionally, like with tribal birth, you know, most women probably were at a birth, either of their mom, like their moms or their sister or a cousin, you know, like we all like to support each other. So I think that that was something that was probably a lot more common hundreds and thousands of years ago, where most women were birth keepers. You know, that was just kind of part of tribal living, you know, but there has been a big disconnect with that. And so now, you know, there's a lot more fear associated with birth because people have never been to one or they've never been around it. And it's just, you know, that can be kind of uncomfortable or scary, but it's really so beautiful. And, you know, it's, yeah, it's just such a special, like significant time in your life that, you know, doing whatever we can before the birth and after the birth, to make it more pleasurable is like so, so beautiful. And, yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. There was just so many golden nuggets, what you just shared. And I was just on the edge of my seat the entire time. That really like landed you too, Elfina.
Yeah,
something that too. For me was this concept that like an orgasm is pleasure, is it's an experience and unique and individualized experience for every person. Like everyone's organ is different. Everyone of comfort and bringing a child to the planet is different. And it really feels like a reflection of the feminine power to be able to say what is the most peaceful, tranquil, or like how do we begin to really manifest call that to life. So yeah, I love
Yeah, it's like, like sexuality and making love, it's different for everyone. What brings someone pleasure and orgasm is going to be completely different for me than it is going to be for you. And it's also so like dependent on like where you are in your cycle, right? Too, like with pleasure and sexuality and orgasm and all these things, and that also plays in with your birth experience as well. I have been, me and my partner have been together since we were teenagers, very, very monogamous. And what I've found is that, like, being with the same person this whole time, like that I start noticing the cycles a lot about, like, I think before, because I definitely had boyfriend before him, but, you don't, like, when you're with someone else, sometimes you just think, oh, it's because of this person that I'm having this experience that wasn't pleasurable or something. You can chop it up to that. But I also have just really found that being with the same person, like, I noticed that throughout the cycle, throughout the month, like, obviously, I'm much more like likely to orgasm around when I'm ovulating than when I'm about to start my cycle. I'm not really into it as much, sometimes, or sometimes that'll change and it's opposite. But I think that sometimes with like birth and pleasure and things like that too, it's like just finding out where you are in the cycle of things, and what's going to feel good for you at the time is going to be different for everybody. And yeah, it's just like, yeah, love making is I think a really beautiful thing to do in early labor, and nipple stimulation. Like nipple stimulation can totally get labor going and totally feel orgasmic and just as juicy sometimes as intercourse. Sometimes the guys will get a little nervous about doing intercourse. I found that people say that, and there's really nothing to be worried about as long as your water hasn't broke. But if that's uncomfortable, like getting some oils, and I mean, nipple stimulation is great postpartum as well for getting that milk flowing. And postpartum care is so important with the orgasmic birth experience too, because it's really that like full spectrum experience. When you look back on it in days, in weeks, in months, in years, like looking at that whole experience as being something where you really felt like you were cared for and held in a sacred way. And that's why having a doula can be so helpful, just having somebody else besides the father that has the list of all the things that personally bring your client or your sister or your best friend, pleasure and joy, and make her feel like she's being honored and taken care of when she can't really think about all those things. Birth is such a psychedelic, like out of body, otherworldly experience that just having someone that already knows what you want and can kind of help facilitate that is so crucial, because oftentimes the dad really needs to be able to focus on the mother. And he's not oftentimes thinking about the list that you made. Honestly, guys are just like that. It's really nice for women. I mean, some guys maybe they will. There is some men that can be good at that. But I've found that it's really nice for women to have another woman that, whether it's her midwife. All moms should make their own birth plan. It's something that you can Google it, look it up. There's different birth plans. There's different questions that you may or may not want to answer. But it's good to have your birth plan organized in advance. That way, if you are planning a home birth and for any reason you do need to transfer or something like that, you already have all your needs that you are longing to have met in the process are already on paper for you and for whoever is there to help you, you know, make that happen. So, yeah, but like water birth, I found that water birth can tend to really be a lot more soothing and pleasurable for women as well, just because the water really allows those tissues to relax and open up. And so when you're spiraling, I mean, it's just like orgasm, you know, when you're like moving that energy through, it's a lot easier for your body to just process that energy as pleasure. I mean, we know not all sexual experiences feel good. Like that's why, I mean, I like to have sex as often as possible throughout the month and the cycle. But like, yeah, as I get closer to my cycle and my hormones are changing, like it doesn't always feel as good. You know what I mean? Like sometimes there is some pain involved, but that doesn't mean that you're not gonna still orgasm at the end. You know what I mean? So sexuality is just like that. It's like the wholeness of the experience is where, you know, like that, like ecstaticness comes from, you know? So without the pain, you don't like appreciate the pleasure as much, you know? So, you know, it's all a part of it, but yeah, I'm excited to see as we're moving into this new earth, like how this birth experience is changing for women and really becoming more pleasurable and, you know, because people are ready for it. Women are ready for it. We want to take our power back. We want to have our rites of passages that have been taken away from us because we've been divided and conquered. And now a lot of us don't connect with our ancestral traditions. We want those back, you know, and birth is one of the ones that like all, you know, all of us should be able to experience if that's really what we want. And we should be about it in a way that will bring joy and pleasure for us and for our partners. And even if we don't have a partner involved, you know, like I'm saying, there's other people that can come in and help support the mother and the baby postpartum so that they can have a memorable, pleasurable, orgasmic experience. Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. This is like really important and it's showing me how disconnected that we've been from this, like you're saying, this beautiful rite of passage experience and how instead it's been ingrained in so many of our minds, mine included, of just fear and pain and sterilization. And yeah, just going back to what you're saying about like an orgasm being a whole experience, right? It's not just about like trying to peak, it's like finding the everlasting orgasmic experience throughout the entirety of the journey. And it's not like the orgasm is like the final destination, it's like the whole journey can be an orgiastic, pleasurable experience. And I've literally never associated that with birth, like ever. I've never ever thought that. And so this is just like mind shattering for me. And I'm a woman, I can't even imagine like how men feel about this, because men must have fear too, and men must be scared even more. And like, how do I support a woman through this? So yeah, I'm curious to hear you maybe share a little bit more about like the steps and the processes leading up to the actual birth of how someone would, let's just say they're working with you, they hire you, how would you support them in the months leading up to their birth, the day of their birth, and then after their birth?
Yeah, so, you know, I am not really a doula. Like I said, I work with a licensed midwife. I've worked with many midwives here on Maui and in California and Washington State. But, you know, I really show up for the birth a lot of times. I do some prenatal work right now, but I'm really like, you know, I meet with my girls at the beach and I just have talks like we're having right now. And I let them know, you know, my feelings on different questions that they have. But I just really like to encourage people to, I work mostly with home births, but I will go to a hospital with the woman if she needs me to. But I like to encourage my clients, my guests, my friends, family, people that I know that are having babies that like to come talk with me. Just to set that stage in your house and preparing your home. You're already like doing the work. Pregnancy, like from the time you conceive until the time that you give birth, the mystique and the mystical, like, magic and the healing that needs to happen is already happening, you know? But I really like to just encourage my clients to get their house cleaned, to get music playlists going. Like, throughout the whole pregnancy, you could be adding to this birth playlist. So all your favorite songs or songs that people share with you or things that move you along the journey, like kind of keeping a journal and making notes for things that you would like to have at your birth. Eating healthy, obviously, is so important. Stretching, doing some sort of yoga class or some sort of, you know, outdoor activity that brings you joy, like just going to the beach here or going on a easy hike or walk, you know. But, you know, during the birth, it's just such a celebratory time. I think the more babies you have, you know, the first birth I found for women is always very sensitive, you know, because there is more fear associated with it. And so just preparing yourself for that experience through reading books and just being excited about it, like I said, instead of feeling like, you know, fear or uncertainty, just focusing on all the things that you're excited for about the experience and just leaning into that. So, you know, some people have partners, some people are doing their pregnancies solo by themselves. And so it's gonna be different for every person what they need to feel really prepared. But for me, like, I mean, we send our clients home with lists of things that they need to get for their birth. But I also just, you know, like, I like to, like, encourage people to have, you know, beeswax candles, fresh set of sheets for after the birth, so that once the baby comes, we get it all cleaned up and we put your fresh sheets and pillowcases that have been already pre-washed onto your bed. We have fresh fruit, like all your favorite fruits. I always try to get a list of what my guests, my clients' favorite foods are, and I like to bring a fruit salad or something really, like, royal, you know. Flowers are always really important, like bringing in that angelic energy into your home, which is why, like, cleaning beforehand is so important. Like, having a clean, clear temple-like space to bring that baby into is really helpful, especially when you're in labor and it's sometimes it can feel hectic or overwhelming. And it's like, if you have a messy house or you have an environment that doesn't feel very clean and clear, it can just, you know, it's just nice to have that, like, space to feel just prepared, you know. And not everybody's prepared. My daughter actually came a month early. My first child, she came a month early, and luckily the midwives were still willing to let us do it at home. And so, you know, I wasn't that prepared my first baby, and it was actually fine, you know. Babies come when they're ready, and so but, you know, you can prepare ahead of time. I could have prepared more, I think, but, you know, you just go with the flow. And I think he is just such a miracle, and so many women, you know, wait for this time in their life. So just, I think, trying to make that whole 9 months or 8 months, however long, as special as possible, going on walks with your partner, reading books, just connecting with God, picking flowers, preparing your baby's room. Like, there's just so much wonderful, pleasurable things involved in the process. And it's good, because raising kids is so much harder than birthing. I promise you, the birthing part is, like, the fun part, you know. That's like this cool grid, like, bringing that baby in, and you know, it's phenomenal. It really is. It's amazing. But parenting is much harder, and you know, it's just such a journey that no one can prepare you for. I mean, you can get as prepared as you want by doing, you know, certain things, like I'm saying, to beautify your space or to make it feel more, you know, zen or relaxed and tranquil. But, you know, the experience is going to unfold much like a, you know, like a psychedelic spirit journey, you know. One of the things about just trying to make like physiological birth unfold with the least amount of intervention possible is that you will produce more oxytocin, which is the love hormone. And so the less intervention you have during a labor, like the more oxytocin you put out, and you really are in such a out of this world place as the woman, but also as the father, you produce just as much, you can produce just as much oxytocin as the mother during this experience. And it's important. That's why to get too hands-on can kind of like really interrupt this natural like unfolding of this rite of passage and this spiritual birth. So, you know, we take heart tones as pretty regularly at the births that I attend, but we really try to stay hands off. And for the dad, he is one of those people that might be more hands-on. You know, he is able to, you know, push on her back or rub her feet, or I mean, we'll do those things too. But it's nice for really the mom and the dad to just get into it, and for us to try to be as hands-off as possible, unless she's needing that or the dad's tired. I mean, a lot of these first-time moms, the births can go on sometimes for a couple days, you know. So if dads get tired, we jump in there and we'll be more hands-on, pushing on the back or helping her get in and out of the tub and things like that. But I think, you know, a dad's involvement in the birth is just really going to depend on what the mom wants. And I think midwives and doulas are really there to support the mom. We're there to support the dad too, but it's really, you know, it's all part of the like initiation of becoming parents, and you know, what we bring to the table is going to look different for every couple, you know?
Yeah. Like the less hands-on, it's like creating more of a pleasurable experience, I'm hearing. And when I think about a traditional hospital birth, it feels like there's so many hands on deck and so many things like medicines and lights and just a lot of stimulus and a lot of chaos. Honestly, that's what it feels like to me. I've never really been in a birthing room, but like you said, from the movies, from what I've heard. And when you're actually in that experience of an orgasmic birth, the less hands, the better. When it comes to actually creating like a potentially like an orgasm when you're actually giving birth, what does that look like? Is the mom like touching herself? Is the midwife or the doula like assisting her in that pleasure portal? I'm really curious to learn more about that part too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can take many forms. I think that water and spiraling tend to be a really juicy combination for women to be able to like relax into that and feel pleasure. Some women do like to touch themselves. I found that women actually feeling the baby's head coming through when the baby starts crowning is one of the most incredible experiences you'll ever experience as a mom too. Feeling that baby come through is out of this world. I mean, it can be way more pleasurable having a baby come through than even a sexual experience, because it's so like remarkable and phenomenal. But yeah, I think spiraling is a really good way to stimulate orgasm. And but like I said, it's just like sexuality. This can be different for everyone. Some moms like to be on all fours, and some moms, you know, would rather be in their bedroom on their backs, you know, and it's just, it's going to be different for everyone. And it's also going to depend on the positioning of the baby. So, you know, during your labor, just having options set up. I mean, some people like to walk and move throughout their labor, and this is going to bring more pleasure. And some people are in the tubs most of the time, you know? So it's really up to you. And I think it's visualizing and being open to the idea that your birth can be as pleasurable as you want it to be. And really, you know, trying to kind of reset our way of thinking about birth and you know, just being open to all the possibilities and just welcoming that baby with the most amount of love that you possibly can.
And she often
you're cutting out, Heather. Oh. It's hard to hear you. No.
Oh, okay. Well, you take it away.
Well, now I can hear you. Try one more time. Maybe speak a little further away from the camera. It sounded better.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, this woman spoke about the concept of sensation. Like, imagine within your body pleasure or pain. And I wonder if something breathing process, right? Like moving beyond the threshold of construct and just saying, like, I'm experiencing a really large sensation.
Yeah.
You find, like, kind of categorizing is supportive for some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Birth is, it's such a powerful experience. I wouldn't want to say that you shouldn't be feeling pain even in that experience, because it's so powerful and profound. And I think that is part of the human experience right now, is that we do experience some pain or powerful sensations during labor. And I just think that's okay. Like, it's just a part of it, and it's just getting excited to embrace that. I really found that early labor is one of the most pleasurable things you'll ever experience. The tightening of the stomach, like, once it's out of your control and your body is just like, it's tightening, your stomach gets rock hard and there's nothing you can do about it. It's just like these waves of like something coming over you. It's so exciting. And it's something to look forward to. Every woman should look forward to that. It's remarkable and incredible. And towards the end, if the sensations are more intense and more, it just gets more and more profound though. So you really just want to be able to lean into that. And I just think there has been such a disconnect between mamas and their babies, and thinking that you're going to just go to the hospital and have somebody else do it for you concept really like takes away from you being in your power to connect with your baby, drop in and figure out how to get that baby out. I think sometimes we can make our births last longer than they need to also. Like, I don't think that that it needs to necessarily go on and on and on. I think that I found that with my first labor, I was kind of letting it go on and on and on. And I remember my doula coming in and being like, okay, like, take all that energy that you're using for like moaning and like drop it down into like getting that baby out. And as soon as she said that to me, I was like, oh yeah, perfect. Okay, I can do that now. And it was like, all of a sudden, the baby, I was like ready to start pushing, you know? And so, I think it's just important for us as women to start encouraging each other to just lean into this exciting possibilities of all the different things that can unfold at your birth. And you know, birth is like life and death. You're on the verge of this like life and death experience. And it's like, it's just unlike anything you'll really ever go through your whole life. So trying to just make it as beautiful and pleasurable as possible is ideal. But it can take so many different forms. And it's all good, especially if you have the right people there to support you, and you did that prep work early on, and you also have that good postpartum care. All in all, as long as that baby comes out healthy, that's really all that matters. That's what we're going for: a healthy mom, healthy baby, and healthy family. You know. So,
could you speak a little bit more onto what health benefits there are from having a natural birth versus in the hospital in a non-natural way, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty, it's it can take on a lot of different it can influence your life in a lot of different ways, I guess. Just I guess from the start, oftentimes this is a common thing that can happen in hospital birth is they'll cut the umbilical cord too early. So one thing that happens during birth that's really wonderful when you have a home birth and you can just wait for as long as you need before you start cutting and doing anything with the placenta. But as your baby is born, your baby and the placenta have been best friends for 9 months, and your placenta holds all of the blood and nutrients from the food that you eat goes through the placenta and then through the umbilical cord and into your baby. And so your baby and your placenta have been basically coexisting for the 9 months. And the placenta has all the DNA from your mother and your grandmother and your great grandmother and your great great grandmother. And it also has all the DNA from the father's mother and father and great grandmother and great grandfather and great great grandmother and great grandfather. And so the placenta is like a very essential part of the whole pregnancy experience and a part of the baby, you know? And so the placenta is the only thing that can do that in a woman, that the woman can hold all that DNA, that sacred DNA in that placenta. And so when the baby is getting pushed through the birth canal, oftentimes the baby will actually, as it's getting squeezed, 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 it'll store, it can store up to 40% of its blood in the placenta. And so what happens is if that baby's getting squeezed through this tiny birth canal and storing a bunch of its blood, that's its most trusted friend the last 9 months. And then in the hospital, if they just cut that cord right away before the baby gets a chance, that's why in midwifery, all midwives know you don't cut the cord before it stops pulsating. And some people even like to do like a lotus style placenta birth where they wrap the placenta in herbs and keep it attached for like a few days even. But it's because there's so much DNA in that blood, that placenta, that in that pumping through that umbilical cord back to that baby. Like the baby is the reason it's pumping like that is like the baby's bringing all that blood and all that nutrients that it needs, that chi, that essential chi back into its body. But if you're at a hospital and the baby just stored a bunch of its blood in there and then you just cut that cord, and then suddenly the hospital's like, oh, your baby's not looking too good, and we're gonna take the baby and go run some tests on it, and then now your baby this and that and the other, when really they really should have just waited to cut that umbilical cord. Sometimes it can be something as simple as that that's not being fully understood at the hospital. So there's so many health benefits to having a healthy baby and a healthy mom by just being at home. Like I said, having in your home, you already have inoculated your home with all the mama and papa and little brothers and sisters, whoever your family's your home has all the different organisms that are in your body, your microbiomes, your things that you have in you and your family are already in your home, you know? And so when your baby comes out into your home, it's just like it's definitely healthier than maybe having a baby be born into a hospital where there's all kinds of different bacteria and things that you're exposed to. Not that that's like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna have a bad experience with it, but just to say health-wise, why wouldn't you want to be in your own home, birthing your baby at home and the sacredness and in the health and wellness of what you like for you and your family, you know? It makes so much more sense to me that you would want to at least try to have it at home. Having the hospital as a backup is incredible. Think how many women and babies didn't make it, in ancient times, probably because they didn't have a plan B. But I think that the health benefits of having your baby at home are there's a lot. I think you could probably go on and on about it, but Yeah, I mean, just having the ability to choose what you're going to eat, whether or not you want to light a candle or not, if you can have music going. There's just, and I'm sure you can do some of these things at the hospital too, but I think like being able to have control over your environment and control over your body is like the healthiest thing for you. Having somebody else constantly telling you what you need to do, and then also like feeding you fear about like having a time frame that you have to like a constantly like ticking clock as to when you're supposed to be progressing and how you're supposed to be progressing, and then also tempting you to take painkillers when in reality the pain, you're probably still gonna feel it, maybe you won't, but also, postpartum, those pain meds that you take for your epidurals and things, it's in your breast milk. So that's what you're feeding your baby right away, right off the get-go. It's like your first milk that you get to give your baby has epidural energy in it, or Pitocin, depending on what they gave you if they were trying to get your labor to increase. So, yeah. It's just I'm definitely more of a tribal natural birther. I believe in plant herbs and medicines. There's so many different things you can do at home to help. If a woman's bleeding or hemorrhaging, you can use they used to snort cinnamon, will help coagulate blood. And there's so many cool like herbal insights to things that you can do to, have a natural, healthy, plant-based, earth-based home birth.
Yeah, that's so interesting. What is maybe a natural remedy for pain relief instead of getting an epidermal?
Well, what I like to give my women is I just have a really strong full spectrum CBD, and I give them CBD tincture during labor that has turmeric, and it's like a hydrosol based. I have a really good product that I make. It's called the Ascend Blend, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it works really well. It calms the nerves. It can help alleviate pain. I've been to some funny births though, where women have taken hash or like done different things, peyote. I've been at some peyote births.
Wow.
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, women like to do or be around ayahuasca as well. I've never done that. But I think that, it really depends on what your comfort level is, what you want your rite of passage to look like, what you want your birth experience to look like. And it can be so beautiful. I really recommend playing music, just making it a celebration, a celebration of life. And that doesn't mean you need to have a bunch of people there. But it's just like you can create it to be whatever you want, and start visualizing that ahead of time. And it's probably never going to work out exactly how you think it will. But if you can start getting excited about the experience and getting your things together that you want for that, you're gonna have an amazing time, And I think pregnancy is a very prayerful time. Naturally, you just really want everything to go good with your birth, and you realize that some of it is gonna be out of your control. And so I think that really helps women naturally start, even if they weren't very prayerful before pregnancy. I think it naturally helps you start connecting with more, because we gotta pray for what we want. We gotta put that intention out there, into the world, into the universe, and really call in what it is that we want for our life and for our children and for our birth. It starts obviously in the pregnancy and in the birth, but it continues on in parenting, just really praying for your children. And not everything is going to be in your control, but if you can just try to visualize for yourself and for your child what it is that you think will be best for you and for them, I think there's no reason why that can't happen,
This is so touching. I mean, I've always, not always, but recently remembered that like ceremony itself, right? And
Absolutely.
individual things that are pieces of that ceremony. But to be honest, we're really zoomed to birthing and mother ceremony itself. Just that whole thought really softening my heart. And
yes.
My wheels turn and ask the deeper question, do I want to, you know, sit with peyote, mm-hmm. child into the realm. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for your sight and your heart. And really what I feel is deep trust with you within the universe. And yeah, I'm just so grateful that you're here. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw those rose petals in the bathtub, you know, mm-hmm. get some flowers in there. Like, there's no reason not to. There really isn't, you know? Like, make it as beautiful and royal and luxurious if possible. If you can, why not, you know? Some women need to have a glass of champagne. If you don't drink, I'm not promoting drinking during pregnancy at all. I mean, you shouldn't. You should eat as healthy as you can. You should drink lots of water, lots of raspberry tea, lots of pregnancy teas. But shoots, if you need a glass of champagne to kick your labor off, to just relax and ease in and just enjoy something bubbly, I mean, do it. Like, there's no reason not to. Absolutely. If you're going to take an epidural and go some crazy route with like painkillers like that, I mean, there's no reason why you can't have a glass of champagne or a glass of John or kombucha, just in a nice glass. Like, just make it feel like, yeah, ceremonial. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. It's absolutely a ceremony, and it's something that you should prepare for in that way. 100%. And it's that we haven't been doing that. We need to have more women on board with just helping make these experiences known about and encouraging people to get excited about it and making it more fun and pleasurable for sure.
Yeah, and that brings us to closing, but I just want to reflect that everything you're saying about birth is so interesting, because maybe 4 or 5 months ago, Heather and I were talking to a death doula, and she was sharing how we can make death a ceremony, and we can reframe the way that we think about it and not be scared of it and plan for it and choose our music and choose our food and choose the ambiance and the environment. And it's like so similar to everything you're saying, and it's really just bringing me back to that conversation, these two major portals that we have, some of the biggest ceremonies that we'll ever experience, life and death, have been so misrepresented of what they can actually, the potential for pleasure and celebration that they actually really hold.
Exponential potential.
And it's been so beautiful just hearing you share so much profound wisdom, so many inspiring insights that I'm sure people listening and watching have a different perspective entirely after this conversation. And I would love to give you the opportunity to share with viewers how they can connect with you, and if they want to learn more about natural midwifing, maybe some other resources you have for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can just get a hold of me on Instagram if you want. It's Abby, abi.rose.melchizedekorder. And then, yeah, we can also put the link in the bio for some of the books that we talked about today, like The Orgasmic Birth and the Woman's Wheel of Life. That's a really good one. And then for any doulas or midwives in training, Elizabeth Davis, this book is incredible. She started the National Midwifery Institute. So you can get accredited, certified midwife through her NMI Institute. But this book is wonderful. Even if you're not a midwife, if you're just planning a home birth or an unassisted birth, this is a great one to have. It goes through everything that you would ever, any questions that you have. She's just a wonderful, wonderful resource of wealth and wisdom in that regards. But yeah, definitely feel free to reach out. I'm here on Maui on the North Shore, and I work with a couple different midwives here. So yeah, any questions, just don't be afraid to reach out, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm. Your work is important. I feel so illuminated, and I'm going to integrate after this call, because there was so much that came through. But I really see your soul and your dharma space for women to reclaim their power and their truth. That's such an important That's such an important path. So
yeah, we have great. Fun. We have as much fun as we possibly can, you know, because life is short. None of us are promised tomorrow. So you really just gotta like live up to your highest potential as much as possible and just try to enjoy life and make the best of it, because there's just so many different challenges that we all face in life. And the more we can just help uplift each other and just get ready for the times coming. I mean, I'm all about the new earth, and I think that we should just keep visualizing that like pleasurable orgasmic lifestyle in general as much as possible.
Spiraling that vision to the world for everyone to experience pleasurable new earth every day. Thank you so much, Abby, again. Thank you for joining us and just being such an incredible, marvelous guest. And thank you, everyone who's tuned in and who's listened. And again, this is Taboo Talks, and you can catch the full replay if you're just joining now under our highlights in on our profile, or else you can also listen to our podcast on Spotify or follow us on YouTube for the full videos. All of those links are in our profile as well. So join us again next Wednesday, same time, same place, for another transformative episode. And again, we are Cis Society, a global community dedicated to rewriting the narratives around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. We'll see you next week, and take care, everyone. Thank you.